Little Misery Loves Company. It's a great album. There's a bunch of good songs in this album. From the top. It's like my, you know what? My buddy Boosh might be listening. Me and Boosh used to like this song. Boosh works security on Thursday nights. He might be heading home. Free. Lie was the only one for me. Set on fire. All right, 304. A little louder. Whatever makes you great. That got me going at 304. McMonagle here with you, 877-337-6666. We opened up with the Giants. You want to go back? You can listen to the, on the Odyssey app, go back and listen to the open. I came on at 12. Tonight is a midnight ride. 3 hours down, two more to go. Joe Shane spoke to the media pre-draft. Talked about a handful of stuff, some of it. You know, with these pre-draft stuff, it's impossible to really get a feel for what they're going to do. And Joe Shane in particular has done a good job, I think, because I think he's full of crap when he tells you he's comfortable with the quarterback room, which he was asked today or yesterday. I don't buy him for a second. But I do, you know, there's some things you can glean from it. There's different things you can take from how they operate and what they say a little bit. But what I'll say is this. Elliott Wolf of the Patriots came out yesterday and said they're open for business with the third pick. And if that's the case, if they're open for business, if they are actively shopping the third pick, the New York Giants have to go up and take their quarterback. Plain and simple. And he also talked about a quarterback tax and how, yes, when you move up, you probably, if you know you're coming to take a quarterback, which clearly that would be the case for the third pick, that you're going to pay a little bit more. You know why you pay a little bit more? Because it's the most important freaking position. That's why you pay more. And instead of being scared off by paying a little bit more for a team that he said himself is not one player, not even two players, short of being a championship contending team, and he's 100% right with that, there's only one position that guarantees you success if you're right on it. And it's time, considering where they are, considering the coach they have and how he develops young quarterbacks, considering where they are in the draft, on a heavy quarterback draft, like now is the time. Go out there and get your quarterback for the future. That's what this draft is should be about for me. I'm excited for it. There are options at 6. If they don't love a quarterback, there's tons of wide receivers there, and especially if all the quarterbacks go, they'll get a great wide receiver. But for me, a great wide receiver is nice. He doesn't transform your organization. Hell, look at all a great running back is great. Look what Saquon Barkley did for the Giants. Played great, didn't win at all, almost ever. Andrew Thomas, one hell of a left tackle. Has that even helped the offensive line? There's only one position when you get it right, it transforms your team, and this team needs freaking transformation. 877-337-6666. You know what? Let's get into something here. I just see Woody calling about it, and Marco was telling me about it. The scheduling is now out for these playoff series, and Woody out in somewhere in New Jersey that I'm not even going to try and pronounce. Where are you from in New Jersey, Woody?
Swedesboro.
Swedesboro. Where is Swedesboro, New Jersey?
Gloucester County, about 10 miles north of the Delaware Memorial Bridge.
Okay, I got you. All right. What do you want? You
want to talk? But I'm a truck driver now. So.
Okay, cool. You want to talk about the Islanders playoff hockey?
Absolutely. That's my team.
Yeah. Are you a Knick fan, by the way?
Yes, I am.
Well, you're going to have a tough time, buddy. I hate to tell you this. We'll get into the Islanders if you want in their tough series against Carolina. But if you look at the scheduling right now.
Ask me who your favorite basketball player was of all time.
Who's your favorite basketball player of all time?
Dave DeBuscher.
Oh, the great Dave DeBuscher. Sure.
He was something else. But, yeah, the Islanders are 9-0-1 going into these playoffs, and these Carolina Hurricanes beat us last year, so we got a little payback to do for that.
Little payback to do. Listen, you couldn't, and Woody, thank you for the call. You could not be more excited about this Islander team. There's no doubt about it. They've been playing great. They've really turned it on. Waz made a difference. They're playing as well as they've played all year. It's a very difficult matchup. There's just no two ways around it. Carolina, I believe Carolina is favored to make it to the Cup final more than the Rangers are. They have better odds, or worse odds, depending on if you're a gambler or not. But their odds are better to make it to the Cup finals than the Rangers. You know, this Carolina team is tough. But I did just want to say, because yesterday me and Fleeks talked about it, and it sucks. And I'm going to look at the Rangers one, but I was told to take a look at the Islander one. If you're an Islander Knick fan, which, again, if you're a basketball fan, most likely, I'm not here to crap on the Nets, but let's be honest. If you're a basketball fan, you're a Knick fan. And right now, this is about as exciting a time to be a Knick fan as we've had in 30 years. So if you're an Islander fan getting ready for a big Carolina series, and obviously a Knick fan, I mean, it just doesn't get worse for you. So game one of Carolina and the Islanders is this Saturday at 5 p.m. to go along with the Knicks at 6 p.m. So, I mean, that's roughly the same time. Game two of the Islander-Carolina series is Monday at 7:30 p.m. Game two of the Knicks series is Monday at 7:30 p.m., the exact same time. Game three of the Carolina series with the Islanders is Thursday, April 25th at 7:30. Game three of the Knicks series against the 76ers is Thursday at 7:30, the exact same time. Game four would then be Saturday, April 27th, you get the day off there. The Knicks game four is Sunday. And then if you want to look at more days from there, I think they play on similar days. But let's just go through the first four games. So the first three games of this series are the exact same day at the exact same time. That is, if you are a fan of both teams, that is brutal. That is absolutely brutal. I mean, good Lord. And now let me check the Ranger one, because I would venture to say, I don't want to be a jerk, but I would venture to say that's the biggest fan base we're talking about. So let's just double check the schedule, the Knicks and Rangers. Because again, first time since 1994, the Knicks and Rangers both have 50 wins. Rangers are the one seed President Trophy winner, and the Knicks are the two seed in the NBA playoffs. Obviously, they have the benefit of not being able to play at the same time because they play at the same place in many cases. So you would benefit from that, obviously. Game one for the Knicks is obviously Saturday. Game one is Sunday. Game two, Monday for the Rangers, it's Tuesday. Friday, Thursday. Yeah, so you're pretty much good. Sunday the 28th. Okay, hold on. All right, so game four, one, two, three, four. Game four is the same day, Sunday, April 28th, but the Knicks are scheduled to play at 1 o'clock. The Rangers are at 8 p.m. So there is virtually no scheduling issues with Knick Ranger fans, which thankfully I am. But Knick Islander fans, it is at exactly the same time. Can you pull up the rest of the Knicks schedule? For the one on my phone stops after game four. Let me see if I can get the rest of the Knicks schedule here. Because I want to get the dates, even though they don't have the times out yet. Let's see if ESPN has it. On my phone, it doesn't. Okay, yes. All right, so I got it. So one, two, three, four. So after a break, so again, Islander Knick fans, the first three games, you're an hour early game one. Yes, I have it. Thank you. So game one is Saturday for both teams. The Knicks are at 6. The Islanders start at 5 p.m. The next two games are both at the exact same time. Monday at 7:30, Thursday at 7:30. Both teams the exact same time. And then on the weekend for game four, you have a free game on Saturday. The Knicks are Sunday. Then you get to game five. Now, they don't have times yet, but game five, same day, Tuesday, April 30th. Game six, same day, Thursday, May 2nd. And those are weekday games. They're going to be played at night. So theoretically, game 5 and 6, if you are an Islanders fan and a Knicks fan, if there is a game 5 or 6 for either series, they're going to be played pretty much the same time, same night. And then game 7 would be Saturday for the Islanders and Saturday for the Knicks. So besides game, the only game would be game 4. Other than game 4, every single Islander-Knick game is played on the same day, and virtually, other than possibly game 7 on Saturday, that Saturday, May 4th, all of them are going to be played at the exact same time. That is brutal. If you are a fan of both teams, it is going to be virtually impossible. You are going to have to pick. You're going to have to look deep in your soul, and you're going to have to make a decision. Which team do I have to watch tonight? I feel bad. Fliegelman. I can't wait. I wish Fliegelman were here right now. I'd rub it in his face. It's brutal. 877-337-6666. Oh, I'm sorry. Are you an Islander fan?
No, I'm not. said you wish Fliegelman was here.
Yeah. Did you take that to heart?
No, it's his job.
Are you that upset?
Okay. It's fine. I won't hold a grudge over it for 2 weeks. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I'm just saying I wish you were here for this segment, for this moment, so I could bust his balls a little bit, okay? Not that I don't wish you've done a wonderful job.
I appreciate it. And by the way, I think it more has to do with Madison Square Garden and its availability.
Well, of course.
Yeah. So,
of course.
Yeah. But like we talked about earlier, the majority of New York basketball fans are Knicks fans.
Right.
So it doesn't matter to them.
No.
If you're an
and that's
Islander
why
fan,
the Rangers are going to luck out because obviously if they both play at home, can't be on the same time. But the schedule for the Islanders, I don't remember. Islander fans, you would have to tell me this. Now, the Knicks have been in the playoffs the last couple of years. I don't remember a scheduling where it's almost exact.
I don't remember the NHL having travel days off. I always remember the NHL being every other day.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But it's literally the exact same schedule. Eric in Ronkonkoma. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, hey, C-Mac. How you doing? Good morning.
What's up, buddy? Good morning. How are you?
My nephew falls into that problem also because he's a huge... I mean, I'm an Islander fan also. I'm a very, very casual Knicks fan.
Okay.
So to me, I'll just pay attention to that game on the laptop. But my nephew's a huge fan of both. But, you know, I was just saying, though, I mean, I don't understand, though, why, I mean, and this goes for both local hockey teams, why is there an extra day off in between when they're going from one arena to the next?
Yeah,
I mean, it's not like they're going across the country.
No, they're going, absolutely. There's no reason why in between Monday and Thursday you can't play Wednesday. There's no reason why Tuesday
up
and Wednesday.
Draft also.
Yeah, you know, no, you're right. That game 3 is going to be up against the NFL draft, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, so there's a lot of now.
So, I mean, you're going to have Islanders, Knicks, and the NFL draft on next Thursday.
Right.
All at the
so
same
now,
time.
I mean, you know, now I was hoping to go to game 4, which I'm going to try to get later today, so that, you know, as far as that kind of falls into place a little bit better for me,
mm-hmm.
being it's a Saturday, 2 p.m., that kind of works for me if I'm able to get them.
Yeah.
But still, it's just kind of, you know, I mean, that's a log jam of stuff to have to pay attention to.
That's
you know,
a lot.
I mean, yeah, right, exactly. So,
and for my purposes, and thank you for the call, Eric. Like, I'm questioning. Like, let's ask the burgeoning producer over there on the other side of the glass. Let's take his opinion. A little inside radio here. I talked about this yesterday. Fliegelman walked out on the segment, so I didn't get a chance to ask him. So we have. I'm going to put aside the Islanders. I hate to be a jerk, but you have Knicks Game 3, NFL Draft. Same night. I believe the Yankees play that night, too. I got to check the Mets schedule, but that would probably be on the back burner as well unless something crazy happened. But you got Knicks Game 3, NFL Draft. I come on at 2 o'clock. What's my open?
It depends.
It depends, right?
Yeah.
So let's put it this way. I would say the most compelling case for it to be a Knick open is they lost game 3 and they're down 2-1. That is the most compelling.
Bingo, that's the answer.
If the Knicks are down, even if it's down 3-0, I'm almost, now it's a fait accompli, the series is over, I would probably do NFL draft. if it's down 2-1, I think I might go Knicks no matter what. If the Giants trade up to get a quarterback, I don't know.
I'll give you a third scenario.
The Jets trade up?
The Jets draft a quarterback at any point.
Yeah, no.
I think that's a big story considering Rodgers' history with quarterbacks.
Not at any point. Like that
right, I guess it would have to be in 10.
The
yeah.
Well, first of all, it would also be, I mean, that night, so you're talking about anywhere in the first round.
Right. So it'd be that night. So first if they draft a quarterback.
I don't think they will, but you're right. Yes. If they draft a quarterback in the first round, if they either trade back or like certainly if they trade up and take a quarterback. But I don't think that's gonna happen. So if the Giants draft a quarterback and the Knicks are down 2-1, that's a very tough. It's a tough spot.
What if the Knicks go up 3-0?
Nah, easy.
Right.
Even if they go up 2-1, as long as if the Giants draft a quarterback, yeah, it's the Giants.
The easiest one is if they were up 2-0 and they lose the first game on the road, like who cares, right? Like then I think it's almost a given. That
if they're up in the series and the Giants draft a quarterback, I think it's Giants drafting a quarterback.
I agree.
If they're down, that's the question. The toughest question is Knicks lose Game 2.
To go down 2-1.
Lose game 3 to go down 2-1. Yeah, even if they lose the first two and then win the third one, I don't know.
Are they alive in the series?
Yes.
Something like that.
If they're down 2-1 after 3 and the Knicks and the Giants draft a quarterback, that's going to be a tough spot.
Yeah. In all likelihood, Jets draft will not be a topic.
I don't think so.
At all.
No.
Yeah.
I would be surprised.
I remember the show after the Jets drafted Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner and Jermaine Johnson.
No.
It was on WFAN. The guy who did the overnight that night was Sean Morash.
How about that?
I know. I called in.
Look at you.
I know.
877-337-6666. So, yes, Islander fans, I'm sorry. Nick Islander fans just got screwed. I don't know when they put out the schedule. Marco just alerted me to it. Every single game, other than Game 4 and Game 7, and Game 7 might be played at the same time. We don't know. It's the same day. But because Game 5 and 6 are both Tuesday and Thursday night, they're not going to play an afternoon game. I'd be very surprised they play an afternoon game. So you're talking about a weeknight game. So Game 1, same time. Game 2, same time. Game 3, same time. Game 4, standalone. Game 5, same time. Game 6, game time. Game 7, same day. We don't have the times yet. You're talking about possibly 6 out of 7 games being played right up against each other. That's crazy. Bob in North Carolina. What's up, Bob?
What's up, Chris?
What's going on, buddy? How we doing?
Yeah, man, we're doing good. I know you're just about to get into football here for a minute. But
that's fine. Anything you want to talk about. I try and re-hit the topic so that people can call.
Bro,
if they hear
I get you, man. Just quick on the Beatles. Give me my guitar. Generally, weeps every day of the week.
Is that your favorite Beatles song?
Dude, that is. It's not. Hey Jude's my favorite.
Okay.
But I love the George.
I think Something is my favorite George song. But While My Guitar Gently Weeps is amazing.
It's just listening to the tune.
And do you know who plays lead guitar on While My Guitar Gently Weeps?
Well, I would have thought it would be George. I guess I'm wrong, though.
You are wrong. It is Eric Clapton.
Oops. Get out of here.
Yep.
Wow, I never knew that.
See, look at me. I'm teaching. I'm not like that, unfortunately. you gotta watch the mouth. We could put him back on. I think it was an accident. You gotta put the phone pop.
Yeah,
back
it
on.
Wasn't. It was an accident.
All right, Bob. I trust you. All right.
Well, just two quick ones. So the Yankee fan. You can't have Mariano Rivera. The man's retired. He was the greatest of all time. We
Correct.
All know it. And, you're never going to get there. I feel bad that, like, they all feel like, oh, there's no shutdown guy in the ninth inning ever again. Tate Holmes, whatever.
Clay Holmes.
He's not Eric. He's not Diaz. He just isn't. But
no, he's not. Diaz has been the Diaz last year or 2 years ago was the best closer in baseball, and so far he's done nothing this year to disprove that. But he's, Clay Holmes is right there. You look at some of the other best closers in baseball. He's having a much better year. He's having a much better year than Josh Hader.
I agree completely. So like, why be so negative against a guy as a fan? I don't agree with that.
Yeah,
I think you guys should embrace him and cheer for him when he comes in every time he.
I know. Well, Mets fans are big on that now. We got to cheer everybody immediately. That's the, and I can tell you were a Mets fan. Yes, let's cheer everyone. And while I love the cheering. I do.
It works so well for Lindor.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's done better.
It's hard to do worse. I could do as good as he was doing because zero is still zero.
I understand that. He's hitting under 100. I get it. Or was hitting under 100. I hate the forced nature of it. I don't know. I hate the idea of like, hey, let's cheer him before. And I understand his wife got vile messages and it just, that makes me sick. But I didn't notice. And Fliegelman told me he did. And there's probably circles of Met fans who are, idiots online and stuff. But watching the games on TV, I never got the sense that Lindor was getting booed out of the stadium or anything. No more than anybody else would be getting at batting 100. Like, I didn't know it was a thing. But if Lindor is sensitive by it and they know it's bothering him, and I think that's something that fans need to realize. I don't think you have to preemptively cheer him and give him a standing ovation and root him on. But on some level, you got to take it easy on the boos. And I think, as my mother tells me all the time, take it easy on the booze. You got to... Because we're seeing... I talked about Roddy Tellez, who literally interrupted an interview with David Bednar to, get on the fans of Pittsburgh for booing him. This has been one of our best... This is our best reliever. He was an all-star last year. He's off to a tough start. We're better than this. The stories of how Gallo's affected by it, Hicks is affected by it. The Yankee team was almost in shock that Judge would get booed during the playoffs of that year a couple years ago when he hit 62 home runs. Today's generation doesn't understand. And we can scream about it and we can hold our breath and stomp our feet and say, too bad, I paid my money to be in this building and I'm going to boo and you make millions of dollars and you're going to have to take it and I don't give a damn. And that's a fair take. You can have that take. It's reasonable. But if you want your players to be at their best, you're seeing that today's generation, as we always talk about, can a coach relate to this year's team? You got to do it differently. You can't yell. You can't scream. You got to be more relatable. You got to do this. We're learning that even the fans might have to do it. And while I don't necessarily believe in a preemptive standing ovation, I do think that you don't have to boo the guy out of the building every time he strikes out, even if it's for the 15th time in his last 16 at-bats. And we're learning that the players are more affected by it more now than ever. But to your point about Clay Holmes has been as good. That's the thing. If Clay Holmes was struggling, but he had previous, decent times, I would say, hey, if he finds it. Clay Holmes, for the most part, over the last 3 years, has been as good as any reliever this side of Diaz. And he's not making Hader money. And yet Yankee fans still tell me they can't win with him. It drives me nuts. Val in the Bronx. What's up, Val?
Brother Mac, what's going on, Dan? How you doing this morning?
Good, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
How's the Bronx treating you this morning?
As good as can be, man. I'm on my way to jump on the train and head home. I'm on my way.
Okay.
But I got a few things to throw at you real quick. But you said something, right? I want to talk some Yankees and I want to talk some Knicks with you. Yo, that's what you said, though, before about Shane. The funny thing is both our GMs are doing exactly what we want, just in different ways. My guy is holding it close to the vest, and he's not – I haven't heard any answers to any questions, so he's staying away from people. And he's been doing things, except for having to answer for his owner, he's been doing things so far in the offseason and through the draft where, like, because it's all going to be disinformation, but he's not even answering the question. Your guy is answering every single question and is noncommittal on everything, so nobody yep. knows exactly what he's doing anyway.
Yep.
And both of them are getting the same result. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Now, I want to talk some Yankees and some Knicks with you. The Yankees thing is real quick. That stuff you were talking about with the A-Rod number, I wonder if, like, say, for example, Volpe, and maybe he's not even a good example, but say, like the next coming with Dominguez, God forbid they gave Dominguez or had given Volpe the number 13.
Yeah.
Do you think that people would have, like, freaked out the
no.
same way because it was a Gallo? Because now it's like a homegrown kid that you think is actually about to be the future next best Yankee that came through the system. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like Spencer Jones, for example, got it.
It would,
do you think people would act the same way? And then for the Knicks stuff, and I'm interested to hear what you think, because I told you before about that X factor, and I think you kind of agree with me, but you think I'm being a little bit too desperate. But I still say it would be nice to see Deuce on the floor at the same time with Jalen, or to see even DiVincenzo actually getting an opportunity to bring up the ball in some limited moments, just to give Jalen a chance to get off the ball and to avoid, you know, the amount of time that he's pressured under that double team. You know what I'm saying? But the next X factor that I got for you is that just listening to the early read on what everybody's been saying, what I heard from you and what I heard from a lot of the other shows too about Embiid's current state, you know, the fact that he seems like he's kind of winded, he wants to play offense on the outside. I'm just wondering if it makes sense to start Hartenstein, just because that would give us an opportunity. Because my man is more offensive, it would mean that Embiid would have to play him more on the defensive side and give Mitchell a chance. Like, if like Mitchell have either start Hartenstein or give Mitchell like a quick hook, just so that we could throw some, because that's the way to put bodies on Embiid to wear him down if he is in fact challenged. You know, either fitness-wise or, like, he wants to hang outside. Because then Mitchell's not really going to have the chance to stay inside and kill the offensive boards if Embiid is making him come out.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, Hartenstein's the starter of the team.
All right, so then
he's going to start the game. I completely agree with you. And thank you for the call, Val. And you always say a lot, and then I'm trying to remember what you said. I end up just answering your last question and moving on. Yes, Hartenstein's going to start, and I understand that he's a little more offensive. It would be a little bit of a tougher guard, but I don't, you know, Hartenstein doesn't really. I don't think he's a tough defend necessarily. He's got more offensive skills than Mitchell Robinson, and I actually like him better for this team. I think he is the starter for this team for a good reason. And again, bringing the ball up, like, that's easy to get off that. Like, I don't know. You're focused on bringing the ball up and avoiding. I mean, so you're just saying you want him off the ball more. That's fine. The way you say bring the ball up makes, like, that's.
Well, a lot of times he gets pressured in the backcourt, and anyway, he ends up throwing the ball up.
Yeah,
and
I don't think that's anything. I don't think that's worthy of trying to figure out. Let DiVincenzo bring up the ball. So then what? So then DiVincenzo gets, you know, they're trying to get him off the ball, move him around. That's fine. We talked about how good he is off the ball, and he's gotten better off the ball of recently.
The other point was the A-Rod number, had it been given to Volpe.
Right.
Even at the beginning, like when it was first given to Gallo, and you remember Gallo was that first, it finally felt like, finally, Brian Cashman brought us a left-handed hitter.
Yeah.
So I don't think people hated it when he first got the 13. It was after he stunk that
And Volpe got a fan favorites number. I mean, that was, Guardy was a fan favorite. People weren't thrilled that he got 11, some people. But it's a respect. You give it to Volpe, who's your young up-and-coming superstar, your first-round pick, the guy you believe is going to be the next shortstop of the franchise. That's a respect kind of number, where Guardy's number was never going to be retired. And frankly, it didn't warrant it, as much as he was a great player and we loved him. That's almost like, okay, hey, you can give it to Volpe. That's awesome. And I think Alex Rodriguez on some level probably would have applauded it. Alex Rodriguez might have come out and said, hey, I'm cool with Anthony Volpe getting my number. He's a great young player, hoping to be a leader of this team moving forward. But I don't care. I really don't care. I just,
they waited longer to give away Tanaka's number 19 than they did to give away the 11. Gardner, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm sure Anthony Volpe asked for it or whatever, or would rather have him. I still am salty. He should have kept 77. I wanted him to keep 77.
Why?
Because 77's awesome. That's why. It's the greatest number ever.
So do you like 89? With no, you know, that's what Dominguez wears?
Yeah, I'm cool with it. No, but I liked Judge is 99. He's 77. Dominguez should wear 88.
At some point, they have to kind of
no.
add some of the old numbers yeah. back into the rotation, right?
No, no. That's how you get it. Judge is 99.
Too many retired
88,
numbers.
70. They do have too
They're
many
They're going to start retired. Getting to triple digits.
No, I understand. But not, no, 99.
They should have just given him zero. That's the last single digit
well,
number.
Now,
right?
Well, now, what's his? Stroman was it. No, but I like 77. It was cool. It was different. He was raking in spring training, and then they put him in 11. He had a miserable start to the year. He's hitting now, obviously. But I would have kept him at 77.
In Monument Park?
Yes.
It is.
Yeah,
right?
Joe Torre's retired. Yeah.
Yeah.
No more six. Can't wear six. It's all done.
Because in the old video games, I remember you could still wear six because it wasn't like a man. It was a manager's number, not a player's retired number. I don't know why it was different.
In the old video games of what, 2017?
Like MLB
yeah,
let's, the
yeah,
show.
Yeah. Yeah, MLB the show 2016, the olden days for Rami over there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. When he was taking pictures of his Cheerios. Steven Sarri. You see, now, did you not get that joke, by the way, though?
No, I got it.
Okay, my point is
fun.
That, I'm okay
yeah, I
with.
Yeah.
Okay. Steven Saratoga. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Steven Mac. How are you?
What's up, buddy?
Not too much. I got a quick question. How is it that Washington got in the playoffs over Detroit when they have more wins?
Regulation wins.
What is that? What does that mean? They had 41 wins and.
Wins in regulation without going to overtime or shootout. So even though Detroit has more wins, it's a total of wins in overtime and shootout. Regulation wins, third period, without going to overtime, the Capitals had more regulation wins.
Oh, okay.
That's the tiebreaker.
I couldn't figure that one out. Okay.
We talked about it yesterday. We figured it out. I had no idea. We went and looked. The tiebreaker is regulation wins. So the Capitals had more wins in the third period without going to overtime.
Okay.
So pretty much the Capitals lost more games in overtime than the Red Wings did. But the points were total, and they won more games without going to overtime. They won more in three periods.
Now, one thing that was kind of annoyed me a little bit is that the Rangers, their last game, they only had to get 1 point to clinch the President's Cup. Everybody kept saying they need a win to clinch. All they needed was one point. But
I know. Didn't that just stick in your craw for days? That everybody, all these idiots, all these dopes on the radio, everywhere I turn, people are saying, hey, they need to win the clinch. They didn't need to win. Man, it just pisses me off when they say stupid things like that. These idiots. These guys get paid to do this? All day long, I'm sitting there saying to myself, they only need to go to overtime. They don't need to win. Quit saying it, Evan, and shave your beard. You look ridiculous. We're a bunch of morons. I'm telling you. It's totally true. Believe everything you read on Twitter. We're dopes. We're idiots. We're killing the medium. 877-337-6666. I got this guy on Twitter, Sports Reporter. I love the guys who go behind, you know, can't give their name, Sports Reporter. Yeah, you're the Sports Reporter. Do you remember that Sports Reporter show? Do they still do that on Sunday mornings?
I'm sure he's a very prestigious sports reporter for some publication.
I'm sure he is. And he's always like, you sound like a fan. You're supposed to be an expert host. I'm like, you have a fundamental misunderstanding
Which
of what
makes
we do
you
here.
What? Yeah. Sports reporter, not a fan?
No, he's looking for expert commentary, and sometimes he gets pure emotion from me.
Oh, no.
I know. He's very upset by it. I probably even said, Rangers need to win tonight to secure the President's Trophy. I probably even made such a blunder. 877-337-6666. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Come back and take your phone calls. Airing of grievances. Anything else? Anything else we do here that bothers you, let me know. We'll come back with your phone calls right here on The Fan. Sports Reporter tweeted at me, got two new followers off of my plug there, so that's good.
Shout out.
Good for him. Up to 81. Killing it. Killing it. Yeah. And all the scheduling talk, I forgot to tell you the big news of my scheduling that I'm super excited about. For Saturday, the older boys' 5 o'clock, 5:30 game got rescheduled to 12:30. I'm in the clear for the Knick game, baby. Yeah. I thought I was going to be stuck watching that game on DVR. Nope, 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 nope. Let's go. I have to figure out what to do. I need to get out of the house. I got to do something. I probably should get out of the house and do something because we've just been all stuck in. The whole family's been sick. It's gone through all of us. My wife's still just getting over it. Brutal. Brutal. And then you just feel like I've been stuck in the house for like forever because there's nothing to do. Plus my hours, I sleep during the day. Then I'm dad. As soon as I wake up, I'm dad again. There's no me time, you know? Just want a little bit of me time. That's why I have Daddy, Why Are You Still on the Potty? Where I steal about 5 or 10 minutes. My wife knows exactly what I'm doing. I'm in the bathroom way too long. I'm either playing, we've been back to playing Wordle. Haven't done Wordle in a while. The last week or so, my wife and I have picked up Wordle. And my wife is a high school English teacher with 2 master's degrees. And I'm just a... I'm better at Wordle. So she's going, well, you gave me the look. So, yeah, she's got 2 master's degrees. She's an English teacher, and I beat her in Wordle all the time. It bothers the hell out of her. But whenever I, you know, so, Daddy, Why Are You Still on the Potty? Is when I steal a few minutes in the bathroom just to hide away from the kids who are yelling and screaming, running up and down, playing indoor hockey. That's their new thing. They love indoor hockey in the hallway, trying to score goals between the two doors, obsessed with it, beating each other up, tackling each other to the ground. Tommy, let me score a goal. Never stops. So I was in the bathroom today, and typically it's either Wordle or games or movie trailers, and I saw the new M. Night Shyamalan trailer for Trapped, M. Night Shyamalan trailers usually are terrific. What's going on, CeeLo? He's here today. Boomer's out in Montreal playing hockey, right? No one's listening to me. Boomer's in Montreal playing hockey? That is that correct. Why you're in? You can come in and speak. What the hell? It's 3:46. You're in today?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here.
Were you sleeping on the couch?
No. I came from home, believe it or not.
Oh, very nice.
Rare.
Very nice.
No, I you drew me in with your boys playing indoor hockey.
Yeah.
I was just telling Scuzzeri. I mean, that's all that happens in my house.
Oh, I had to buy... My wife was furious at all the loud noises and the bangs on the floor and everything.
Yeah.
They sell, like... wrapped sticks that like come in like you know like cushioned
really
like almost cushioned hockey sticks.
Okay, I've not seen that yet.
So yeah, I ordered them online first, and then I went to Dick's to buy my son like a helmet, and they sold Ranger ones. I wish I would have known that.
Oh, that's perfect.
But I have just like the standard. It says NHL. They're like in black and red.
Yeah.
But we play just in like the little foyer or whatever that room
same
is.
Same here. Yep.
In between the. To the dining, the door into the open doorway into the dining room and into the living room,
dude.
And we just it's
like a carbon copy. Swear
you're
to
kidding.
God, front foyer, wood floors are all marked up. The walls are marked up.
And
They're crazy.
Play. It's the two of them versus me.
Yeah,
and one plays goalie, and then every time they score a goal, all right, switch it up. I gotta let them score, but I'm far better than they are.
Well,
and
I would hope.
But yes, we play indoor hockey constantly.
Same.
Constantly. But then again, I don't know, like even my 7-year, he's going to be 7 soon, put on a hockey game, it's let's go play indoor hockey.
Yeah,
you
no, they,
he
no.
just he's not there yet. Has no interest in watching the Ranger game. No.
Right. They'll say they're interested.
Yeah.
And then they see it and they want to do it.
Yes.
That's the way that
That's
works.
That's it. They love playing. Like he's pumped about playing baseball.
Yeah.
We're working out in the backyard on his swing. He's totally been involved in it. Sit down to watch a Yankee game. I could see him climbing the wall.
They don't have the attention span.
Nope, don't have it.
No. You know what though? I know that sucks for you and I because we'd like to watch the game,
right?
But they want to be active.
No, that's
so
true.
It's good. Instead it's of raising couch probably, potatoes,
it is probably it is probably better than the other way. You never want to do anything, just watch the games.
That's what they should be doing at that age.
No,
seven,
I know, but
eight,
just
whatever.
Every once in a while, sure. Just sit there and be quiet and watch the game with me. For
that's
five
why I'll
minutes.
Say to them, you guys, boy, that's why there's two of you,
no,
your
know.
Brothers. Well, just go play. I'm going to watch.
Not good enough. Not good enough because they both need to win, and the little guy can't win, and then he
I
cries,
know.
So he wants daddy because Tommy's too tough.
It sounds like we're living the same lives
yeah,
in different states.
Yes. I don't know what state. I'm half in the state. Of,
no, I didn't mean the mental state.
No, I know. Okay. I know what you mean.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Good to see you, pal.
Good to see you. I wasn't sure why you came in. I thought maybe...
You drew me in.
I drew you in
my
with the indoor hockey.
My ears perked.
Yep. We play indoor hockey. And then I hide away. Do you also hide in the bathroom? Like every man does, you know you do it. You know you're
yes.
in there reading articles or
I
you're
do,
doing
yeah.
something.
Yeah. Extended time.
Extended
and then
time
I get asked what's taking so
yeah.
long.
Well, are you going to get out?
Yeah.
All the time.
Yep.
Happens to
That's
me all
the time to catch up.
That's it. I watch movie trailers, or I read articles, or I play Wordle, or I do whatever I do.
It's what you got to do. It's your
you
office.
Need, you need that's it. That's the only office I have.
Same.
That's for sure.
No office at my house.
I gotta work. I gotta figure out something. I gotta do something downstairs. Something. I gotta separate myself and give myself a space.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Let's go Rangers. All right.
Let's go Rangers. But yeah, so I watched the M. Night Shyamalan movie trailer called Trapped. It looks pretty good. It's about a guy who takes his daughter to a concert, like a Taylor Swift type concert, looking like some artist, and he notices that there are like police officers at every exit, like heavily guarded at every exit. And he asks the guy, and he asks like someone who works there, he goes, "What's with the police presence?" And the guy says to him, "Well, between me and you, I'm not supposed to tell anybody, but they have it on good authority that the butcher or whatever, like there's a, in this world, there's like a serial killer on the loose. We have it on good authority that he's going to be here tonight. So they're locking down the building." And then of course, you know, it turns out the guy is the guy and he's trapped inside the arena.
It's
so actually
interesting.
The
spoiler is in the trailer.
The spoiler is in the trailer. Yes.
But
I would imagine it happens early. So that's the gist of the movie. This guy trying to figure out how to get out of the... But you would have thought they would save the...
Yeah, because the trailer, like the first few... Like the first, I'd say, like 60 seconds is this nice moment with him and his daughter. And they're enjoying the concert together.
Mm-hmm.
And then it, like, smash cut to him. How the hell do I get out of here? It looks fantastic.
It looks pretty good. And M. Night Shyamalan movies typically have good trailers. Like, I even... The one where, like, they aged at the beach... Like I think it was one of his more recent ones where, like, for whatever reason, they were aging ridiculously fast. The kids were, like, 25 years old or something, all, like, in a snap. And the trailer looked awesome, and then the movie, I couldn't even make it through, to be honest with you. So, I don't know. But that is a fundamental flaw with some trailers. They give you too much. They give you too much. They as you feel like you've watched the movie already.
Because that feels like the main twist would be a tip.
Yeah.
And they give you that in the trailer.
It must happen early on. It must be like a Columbo episode. That's right. What I used to love about Columbo, as we're talking about Beatles and Columbo. I'm sure you've seen many Columbo episodes.
So many.
So many. The thing about Columbo was they showed you the murder at the beginning of the show. And then you watched him beat down the murderer for an hour and a half as he just pestered them with questions and nonstop. They kept thinking they were getting away with it. And here come Columbo. And you knew who did it the whole time.
Well,
the part of the show wasn't finding out who did it. The part of the essence of the show was finding out how Columbo was going to find out who did it.
Well, there are two shows that I could think of right off the top of my head that was when I was in high school.
Monk was kind of like that.
Elementary, which was the adaptation of Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
And Blacklist was also similar to that, where every episode you kind of knew at the beginning, it was how was Raymond Reddington going to solve it, you know?
Mm-hmm. I wasn't talking about those shows.
No,
I was talking about Columbo.
Two more shows that's the same type of thing.
No, it's not the same type of thing. It's not the same type of thing at all.
You're right.
It's nothing like Columbo.
Nothing like it at all.
No.
I wouldn't know.
One more thing. Maddie. In Floral Park. What's up, Maddie? Maddie. No? Really, Maddie? Maddie.
Yes, I hear you.
Oh, I hear. Then speak, because now I hear you.
Okay. I go back a long way as a Yankee fan. Red Barber, Mel Allen, Phil Rizzuto, and John Sterling, naturally.
Yes.
I just thought if you had any ideas, who might replace him in that... Emmy-winning show, Yankeeography, that he does. I mean, I have a few names. I thought maybe Ken Singleton and possibly if they can get back Steve Summers to do the show.
Sure. Can you imagine Steve's? That's a brilliant idea. This is Yankeeography.
Two impressions.
Can you imagine Steve Summers doing Yankeeography? That would be the best. That would be tremendous. I can't even fathom. Steve Summers there in his black turtleneck, smoking a cigarette, holding a cup of coffee, talking about his favorite Yankee moments. I mean, that would be just unbelievable. Now, the Yankeeographies have dried up. They haven't had a lot of winning. So we haven't seen a lot of Yankeeographies. But, yes, that won a lot of awards. Oh, and that's when Robinson Cano, don't you know, decided to take the Seattle money and go drink Starbucks coffee and catch fish. Max in Jersey, what's up, Max?
Hey, what's going on, Chris?
What's up, buddy? Good, how are you?
Very good, very good. I just want to, first of all, congratulate you for the overnight, man. It's definitely refreshing to hear you on my drive home from work.
So, oh, thank you.
Congratulations on that.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to ask, I mean, with Volpe being in the leadoff spot now and, you know, all this talk going on, do you think that's a good idea? Do you think he's going to stay there?
Yeah, well, that's the question. You just asked the two questions. Whether or not it's a good idea is too late. They've already done it. The question is he going to stay there? And that's why I was hesitant to do it this early, because I don't want this to be a question of back and forth. Well, now he's struggling, or, you know, whatever the case. Like, and especially I hated when asked about it initially, Boone's first comments were more about, well, Gleyber Torres is struggling. We want to get him out of the leadoff spot. Like, I didn't, and I understand that on some level, I guess, but, and Volpe's been fine. I know people assume he's been slumping since he's been leading. That's not the case. He had a bad two game. He had a bad series in Toronto, but he was fine the first couple games as the leadoff hitter. I don't think that's the issue. He's going to have ebbs and flows. He's not going to hit 390. We know this. But that's my only question. If DJ LeMahieu comes back, are they going to, I know they've already, you know, Boone said in the press conference he doesn't plan on moving Volpe now because he was still hitting. But if Volpe goes into a slump, you're going to move him out of leadoff? Like, if Judge goes into slump, you're not going to move him out of three. If Soto gets into a slump, you're not going to move him out of two. And while Volpe is not on that level yet, but he's that kind of Yankee now. Like, I don't want to move him around. I want to get him comfortable at the leadoff spot. You're our leadoff hitter, and that's it. And I still feel like they're going to flop him all over the place.
The only creative solution would be if he does continue to struggle and it coincides with LeMahieu coming back.
Yeah, I mean, that's my question.
You could say, oh, the plan was always to bring.
I know, but I don't like that. I don't like that. I want him to. The whole plan. He's always fit best as the leadoff hitter. The best leadoff hitter on this team is the player we saw for the first 3 weeks of the season of Anthony Volpe. That's the Yankees' best leadoff hitter. It's better than DJ LeMahieu. That's their best leadoff hitter, and so I want that. I just wanted to, when they do it, I want it to be permanent. Now I'm not so sure it's permanent. But I don't buy the fact that he's struggling because he's leadoff. I don't think it's too much. I don't buy the idea of it wasn't broke, don't fix it. No, the best lineup should always be things change, things develop. I don't like the idea that it was less like Volpe's earned it and it was more Gleyber Torres is struggling. But I think Volpe is the best leadoff hitter on the team, and hopefully he'll continue to be so. But I don't want to mess with him. I just want to put him there, and I know that he's the leadoff hitter. Like Boone said 2 days before he moved him to the top of the order. When you look up in 10 years, Anthony Volpe is going to be the leadoff hitter of the New York Yankees. I agree. Let's just start that now. 877-337-6666. McMonagle here with you. 4 hours down, 1 hour left in our 5-hour midnight ride. We'll come back, continue to take your phone calls, get you ready for this Knicks series. Yankees and Mets this weekend. Giants and Jets, the draft on Thursday. Giants need to take a quarterback. I don't care what. There is no way Joe Shane is comfortable with the quarterback room, as he told you yesterday. I don't buy it for a second. And we get ready for this New York Knicks Philadelphia 76ers series. And let me ask you a question. Is there such a thing as bulletin board material? Is there a way to get this Knicks team even more hyped than it already is? I say not. I don't care who talks. We'll get to that next. 877-337-6666. McMonagle here with you on the Fan.